brought to you by Penguin.
Quixote by Salman Rushdie. Read for you by Vikas Adam. A quixotic note on pronunciation. Quixote, spelled Q-U-I-C-H-O-T-T-E, and pronounced Quixote in French and Quixota in German, and C-H-I-S-C-I-O-T-T-E, pronounced Quixote in Italian, are alternative spellings slash pronunciations of the Spanish Q-U-I-X-O-T-E or Q-U-I-J-O-T-E, pronounced Quixote. Portuguese also uses a sh sound rather than a h sound for the X or J in the middle of Don Quixote's illustrious name. Cervantes himself would probably have said Quixote in the Spanish of his time. For the purposes of this text, the recommended pronunciation is the elegant French Quixote, for reasons which the text itself will make clear. But, gentle listener, suit yourself. To each his, her, their own articulation of the universal dawn. For Eliza. Part 1. Chapter 1. Quixote, an old man, falls in love, embarks on a quest, and becomes a father. There once lived, at a series of temporary addresses across the United States of America, a traveling man of Indian origin, advancing years, and retreating mental powers, who, on account of his love for mindless television, had spent far too much of his life in the yellow light of tawdry motel rooms watching in excess of it, and had suffered a peculiar form of brain damage as a result. He devoured morning shows, daytime shows, late-night talk shows, soaps, situation comedies, lifetime movies, hospital dramas, police series, vampire and zombie serials, the dramas of housewives from Atlanta, New Jersey, Beverly Hills, and New York, the romances and quarrels of hotel fortune princesses and self-styled shahs, the cavortings of individuals made famous by happy nudities, the 15 minutes of fame accorded to young persons with large social media followings on account of their plastic surgery acquisition of a third breast, or their post-rib removal figures that mimicked the impossible shape of the Mattel company's Barbie doll, or even, more simply, their ability to catch giant carp in picturesque settings while wearing only the tiniest of string bikinis, as well as singing competitions, cooking competitions, competitions for business propositions, competitions for business apprenticeships, competitions between remote-controlled monster vehicles, fashion competitions, competitions for the affections of both bachelors and bachelorettes, baseball games, basketball games, football games, wrestling bouts, kickboxing bouts, extreme sports programming, and, of course, beauty contests. He did not watch hockey. For people of his ethnic persuasion and tropical youth, hockey, which in the USA was renamed field hockey, was a game played on grass. To play field hockey on ice was, in his opinion, the absurd equivalent of ice skating on a lawn. As a consequence of his near-total preoccupation with the material offered up to him through, in the old days, the cathode ray tube, and, in the new age of flat screens, through liquid crystal, plasma, and organic light-emitting diode displays, he fell victim to that increasingly prevalent psychological disorder in which the boundary between truth and lies became smudged and indistinct, so that at times he found himself incapable of distinguishing one from the other, reality from reality, and began to think of himself as a natural citizen and potential inhabitant of that imaginary world beyond the screen to which he was so devoted and which, he believed, provided him, and therefore everyone, with the moral, social, and practical guidelines by which all men and women should live. As time passed, and he sank ever deeper into the quicksand of what might be termed the unreal real, he felt himself becoming emotionally involved with many of the inhabitants of that
sample complete.
Ready to continue?